It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Last week, the Wisconsin Supreme Court ruled in a 4-3 decision that a local property owners association cannot sue to block the Menominee Indian Tribe of Wisconsin from buying back land on its own reservation.
The decision comes at the end of a legal battle dating back to 2018. The Legend Lake Property Owners Association in Menominee County brought a lawsuit against a Menominee tribal member for buying 40 parcels of land and transferring them to a federal trust, where they are tax exempt.
The Menominee County Circuit Court sided with the tribe, but the decision was appealed and argued in front of the state Supreme Court in the fall.
In the majority opinion issued last week, Justice Susan Crawford wrote that, quote, tribal sovereign immunity is the rule, not the exception.
Here to walk us through that case and what it means is Tori Dolan, assistant professor of law at the University of Wisconsin Law School. She's a member of the Choctaw Nation of Oklahoma. Tori, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, it seems like we're going to tack back and forth between broad issues and very specific ones. Let's start at the broad level. We heard that phrase, tribal sovereign immunity, in Justice Crawford's opinion. What does immunity mean in a legal context?
Yeah, so sovereign immunity applies to most governments, and it just means you can't sue the king in the king's courts. It dates all the way back to England. So governments have sovereign immunity, meaning you can't generally sue them. The Supreme Court of the United States has recognized tribal sovereign immunity, which essentially says that sovereign immunity applies to tribal governments too. As a matter of law, only Congress can abrogate the tribe's sovereign immunity, or the tribe can waive it itself. So that's the general rule.
Now, and the specifics here with the Menominee tribe in Wisconsin, this goes back 70 years or so. What happened to Menominee territory after the tribe's federal status was terminated? This is an unusual history. It's the only tribe in Wisconsin that had this federal termination of their status. Talk us through that a little bit, please.
Yeah, so in the 1950s, Congress considered termination as a policy. And so what this would mean severing the nation-to-nation relationship between the federal government and tribes. And the hope was that tribal members would assimilate into broader society. So they picked a handful of tribes to start this process with, and Menominee was one of them. So when Menominee was terminated, the plan after termination was the creation of Menominee County, which the boundaries are coterminous with the reservation. It would get rid of the reservation, and so governance issues would be transferred to the county. And then additionally, the Menominee Enterprises Incorporation was given the tribal property interests. And so the idea of termination is that the tribal government would no longer exist and the tribe's interests would be handled through this corporation.
That policy of termination, of tribal termination, well, that went away again and Menominee tribal status came back. But in the meantime, they didn't have that reservation land anymore. What was the status then after that termination policy was reversed?
So the status of the land was that it was held with the corporation. And so the idea would be that the corporation would look out for tribal members' economic interests. Originally, members of Congress thought that the timber resources would be able to sustain the community, but that didn't end up being true. So the corporation decided to sell land that became the Legend Lake area to a property developer. And then the developer, made changes to the landscape to make the land more desirable, advertised the land to buyers in Milwaukee and Chicago as vacation homes or as primary homes. But essentially, the Legend Lake community exists because of the termination policy led to the sale of land.
Now, Legend Lake Property Owners Association then set up covenants, restrictive covenants, in effect, saying, as I understand it, and please correct me if I'm wrong, saying, hey, you can't sell this land to tribal members who are going to restore it to a federal trust. What was that covenant and why is it at the center of this dispute?
Yeah, so, I mean, one thing to know is that after termination, things weren't going the way Congress intended, and many Native people protested the termination policy. And Ada Deer was a member of the Menominee Nation, and she was a fierce political advocate for the tribe. So the tribe was restored, and in the 1970s, which is earlier than most terminated tribes were restored. Many of them were restored in the 90s. But part of the restoration of the tribe included a provision by which land could be taken into trust by the federal government. So the Legend Lake Property Owners Association, in order to push back on the tribe consolidating land within the reservation in the county, included these restrictive covenants, which are essentially contracts when you're selling the land to somebody that they agree not to do something to the land. So here the restrictive covenants said that you won't sell to the tribe or an agent of the tribe. Guy Kashina was a representative of the tribe in this case, bought 40 acres, and the land was taken into trust. And so the property association brought suit in attempt to try to enforce those restrictive covenants to prevent the tribe from having the land in trust.
We're talking about a Wisconsin Supreme Court ruling last week affirming the Menominee Nation's right to buy back land on the tribal reservation in Menominee County. We are talking about that with Tori Dolan, Assistant Professor of Law at the University of Wisconsin Law School. Tori, talk us through the ruling in the case. The majority opinion decided in favor of the tribe, saying, hey, yes, this covenant, it can't restrict people buying this land and putting it into federal trust. What do you see in that argument?
Well, the opinion's slightly more technical. It's about whether or not the tribe can assert sovereign immunity, because the restrictive covenants were essentially restrictions on the tribe and its agents. But because tribes have sovereign immunity and you can't sue tribes, in order to get to the underlying question of the covenant, you have to deal with this sovereign immunity issue of can the tribe even be sued? And so the Legend Lake Property Owners Association argued, they made a few different arguments as to why sovereign immunity didn't bar their suit, but the court didn't go for them. So one argument was that the statute that restored the tribe's reservation and the tribe's status included a waiver of sovereign immunity. The court didn't buy that. The U.S. Supreme Court has said that waivers of sovereign immunity have to be a clear statement, and they didn't find that the Restoration Act included a clear statement waiving tribal sovereign immunity. The Property Owners Association also tried to argue that there was an immovable property exception to sovereign immunity. And this is because, in the foreign context, there often is an immovable property exception. So, for example, if foreign nationals or foreign nations own land here in the US, they generally can't assert sovereign immunity over issues with that land. However, tribal sovereign immunity is different. Tribes are domestic dependent nations, they're not foreign nations. And the court recognized that distinguishment and said Wisconsin common law does not recognize an immovable property exception. So, because there is no waiver of sovereign immunity, you can't sue the tribe in the first place. And so, because you can't sue the tribe, and the restrictive covenants are all about the tribe, you can't really enforce the restrictive covenants against the Menominee tribe when it comes to taking land into trust within their reservation under the Restoration Act.
On the dissenting side, Justice Rebecca Bradley wrote that court decisions can't always favor tribes, quote, otherwise a tribe could wield sovereign immunity as a sword and seize property with impunity, end quote. Do you see, as Justice Bradley says, this idea that, okay, after this ruling, tribes, not just the Menominee tribe, I think, but tribes in general, would be able to take more and more land off of local tax rolls?
I think Justice Bradley's statement is overstated, frankly. This opinion really had to do with the Menominee Restoration Act and whether that included a waiver of sovereign immunity, and that just applies to the Menominee tribe. The rule that there's no immovable property exception to a waiver of sovereign or to sovereign immunity, that applies more broadly. But again, in order to take land into trust, tribes have to do it under statutes or treaties, and for each tribe, that's going to be different, and we're going to engage in a different statutory analysis. For example, the Indian Reorganization Act provides taking land into trust. The Indian Gaming Regulatory Act also recognizes land into trust, but it's a very different procedure. And, there might be other statutes that are tribal specific. So, anytime this issue would come up, we would have to look at those specific statutes again. So, Because of that, and because of that variety, I think Justice Bradley's concerns are overstated because it's going to be a tribe by tribe, case by case basis.
That said, could tribes around the state be looking at this and saying, we've got a Supreme Court in Wisconsin that's sympathetic to our sovereign immunity arguments? That court is going from 4-3 to a 5-2 liberal majority now. Do you see it likely that tribes would bring up more test cases to change the margins of the kind of things that could be used in tribal land buybacks?
Potentially, but I think tribes are going to engage in land buyback campaigns no matter the composition of the court or the nature of the political climate. Land is very important to every Indigenous community, and I don't know of any Indigenous community in the country that is not considering how to reacquire ancestral homelands or reservation territories. With that being said, I think that, like the majority said, sovereign immunity is the rule and it's not the exception. Frankly, from a federal Indian law standpoint, the majority opinion, I think, is fairly conservative in recognizing tribal rights because sovereign immunity is fairly basic.
Tori, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
That's Tori Dolan, assistant professor of law at the University of Wisconsin Law School, been talking about a state Supreme Court ruling last week that upholds the Menominee Indian Tribe of Wisconsin's right to buy back land on its reservation. Want to know, is this an issue in your community? Are there concerns about who owns what when there's a tribal government in an area, local governments? Concerns about property taxes being taken off of local tax rolls. If this is something that's been a point of concern in your area, maybe a point of contention, we'd love to hear about it. Email wisconsintoday@wpr.org. Again, that's wisconsintoday@wpr.org.